Hey everybody, I'm Matthew Elaria, and you're watching the Faith for Life broadcast. Let's pray and release faith over today's broadcast, and then we'll get right into the Word. Father, we do thank you again today, Lord, for your Word. Lord, we ask you today for revelation of your Word. We ask you today for grace and help to receive your Word, to put it into practice, and to see it work in our lives. And Lord, I release my faith today over everybody watching the broadcast. I thank you for ministering to them today through this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, four episodes back on the broadcast, we started a series of teachings that we're calling God Will Provide. And friend, let me encourage you, if you missed any of the teachings, you can go back to mam.tv. You can go back to YouTube. You can go back to Facebook. And make sure you watch these teachings over again if you've missed any. If you haven't missed any, just watch them again. Feed on these teachings because they will feed your faith about God being your provider, and they will position you to receive His provision in your life. Praise the Lord. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 22 again, and we're going to look at our foundation text, Genesis 22. And again, this is when Abraham was getting ready to offer Isaac on the altar. And in verse 7, Isaac said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And that verse is where we get the title of the series, God Will Provide. And we are talking specifically about in the area of material and financial provision, God being our provider. And two big things you see about Abraham in that verse. Number one, it was real to him that his God was a God who would provide. And then secondly, you can see the confidence Abraham had in God to provide for him. And friend, these are two big things that you need to be cultivating in your own life. How do you see God? Do you see Him as one who is interested in blessing you financially, materially, and doing it in abundance? That's what we talked about on the verse 3 broadcast, that our God is highly interested in blessing His people materially and financially. That's who He is. But is that how you see Him? That's how Abraham saw Him. That's how Isaac saw Him, Jacob saw Him, Joseph saw Him. But how do you see Him? Because how you see God will affect what you can or can't receive from Him. The same way in Jesus' hometown, they saw Him as a carpenter and not as a prophet. And so they couldn't receive from Him on the level of a prophet because they didn't see Him that way. And so you need to be renewing your mind to this reality that the God I serve is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, and David and Solomon and Hezekiah, all these ones that He blessed in this material financial area. I serve the same God. That's the God I serve. That's who He is. He's highly interested in blessing me materially, financially. You have to see Him that way. You have to renew your mind to see Him for who He actually is. And then the second thing that you want to cultivate is confidence that God will provide for me. He will meet my needs. He can get to me whatever I need, whenever I need it, however much of it I need, and He can get it to me independent of what's going on around me. He has no limits in His ability to provide for me. And so you want to start cultivating a confidence that you're going to have what you need. David said it like that, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack." Praise the Lord. Now let's go back over to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look here starting in verse 25. And last time on the broadcast, we started giving you two keys to seeing God's provision in your life. All these scriptures about God being a good provider and a faithful provider, all these scriptures about His ability to provide, these are good things. But that doesn't mean that your needs are automatically going to be met just because God is a good provider. There are things you and I can do that will either position us to receive His provision in our lives? Are there are things you and I can do that will can cut us off from His provision in our lives? And the first one we gave you last time on the broadcast is that you have to seek first the kingdom of God, that God's things have to be ahead of your things. And doing that is one big thing that will position you to see your needs met. And Jesus revealed that to us in Matthew 6:33. But there's something else that He touched on in Matthew chapter 6. Let's begin reading there in verse 25. Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Now that phrase, take no thought, is another way of saying don't be anxious or don't worry. We'll use that terminology today. Don't worry. Don't worry about what? Don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to, for your body, what you're going to put on. Is not the life more than the meat and the body more than the raiment? Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 27, here it is again. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Verse 28, here it is again. Why take ye thought? Why are you worrying about your clothes or your covering? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30, wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Verse 34, here it is again. Therefore take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now I read all that to you because I want to highlight how many times Jesus told them, don't worry, or how many times He referenced not worrying in just a few verses. I think I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different times in, 9 verses, He's telling them, don't, when it comes to provision, don't worry. Now, the reason that is because worrying can affect the provision that you receive. Jesus wouldn't have said so many times, don't worry, unless it was a genuine threat to seeing your needs met. And so worry actually is one of the greatest threats to your provision. Worrying is. You'll see why in just a little bit. And friend, when it comes to provision, when it comes to your needs being met, there will be times throughout your life where you will be tempted to worry about having enough money, having enough food, having a place to stay. There will be times throughout your life where you will be tempted to worry. Elsewise, these verses wouldn't be necessary for us to hear. And they're necessary for us to hear because you will have opportunities to worry about your needs being met, about provision, about financial things. And if you want to see God meet your needs, you must refuse to worry. I want to say that to you again. If you want to see God meet your needs, you must refuse to worry. And you and I, we need to be hyper aware, particularly in every area, but particularly in this area about finances and resources and wealth. We need to be hyper aware of worry. And anytime we sense that it's trying to come on me about my bills or my needs being met, we must, if we sense the least bit of worry, we must resist it and stop it in its tracks. Because Jesus told us over and over again, He's talking to the disciples about their needs being met. And one of the big things He told them is if you want to see your needs being met, you need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But the other big thing that He told them is this, you must not worry. And friend, this is the second key If you want to see God's provision in your life and you want to see God be your provider, you want to see Him meet your needs, here's the other big thing. Number two, you must not worry, and you will be tempted to worry. And feelings and thoughts of worry about your finances, these things will come on you. And when they do, if you want to see God meet your needs, you have to stop that worry in its tracks. You must refuse to worry about your needs being met. Praise God. Now, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to go further with this today. Now, coupled with that, when Jesus was telling them not to worry, one of the things that He said in verse 30, He said, "Shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Now, these two things are connected. Worrying and being weak in faith are small in faith. In other words, if I'm worrying, faith is not high, faith is low. If I'm not worrying, then faith is high because I'm trusting. And so anytime I'm worrying, it's a sign that faith is small, faith is low, faith is weak. Now, the reason that matters in God meeting your needs is because God meeting a financial need, God meeting a material need in your life is an act of grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, it says, "God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And so anytime God is blessing somebody materially or in the area of provision, that is a work of His grace. Just like being saved by God is a work of His grace. When your needs start getting met materially and financially, that's God's grace at work. Now, grace, God's grace, is accessed by and through our faith. Let me read you a couple verses. Romans 14, 16 says this, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace." It is of faith so that it can be by grace. Kind of sounds like without faith, it can't be by grace. Romans 5, 2 says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand." Kind of sounds like if I have no faith, I have no access into grace. And then Ephesians 2, 8, a familiar verse there says, "By grace are you saved through faith." And so faith is the channel. It's the access. It's the entryway into grace. And if faith is absent, then grace has no channel. It has no way to flow into your life. Now, I haven't changed topics. God's provision, God providing for you, God meeting your needs is an act of His grace. It's a work of His grace. Well, if you're worrying, then you're not in faith. And if you're not in faith and you're worrying, then God has no channel to flow through. He has no avenue for His grace to flow into your life and meet your needs financially. Him meeting your needs financially is a work of grace. Well, without faith in place, that grace won't be able to get to you. And so anything that is not of faith, where my finances are concerned, affects my access into God's grace. I want to say it to you again. Anything that's not of faith affects my access into God's grace. And if I want to see His grace show up in my life and meet my financial and material needs, well, it needs an access way. It needs an entryway. His grace needs a channel to flow through to get into my life. And this is why worrying is the opposite of faith. And because it's the opposite of faith, worrying is one of the greatest enemies of your provision. Because the moment you start worrying about a bill being paid, the moment you start worrying about a need being met, you just deactivated your faith, you just came out of faith, and you are in a position where grace has no avenue into your life, and so your needs will not be met, not because God doesn't want to meet your needs, not because he's mad at you for worrying, but because grace has no avenue to get into your life and meet your needs. And so faith, your level of faith affects your provision. This is why you must not worry. You got to refuse to worry when it comes to your needs being met, when it comes to a bill being paid. If some unexpected expense shows up, if you get laid off, if your pay gets cut at work, the first thing you must do is you must not worry. You must stay in faith because that's going to position you to see your needs being met. We see this in other scriptures. In Psalm 37:3, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed." What? You shall be fed, but what do you have to do first? If you trust and do good, you'll dwell in the good land and you'll be fed. You can see your faith is connected to your provision. Psalm 34:22 says this, "None of them that trust in the Lord shall be desolate," or do without. And so here again, you can see scriptures connecting your faith to the provision you enjoy. And then Luke 12:29, Jesus said, "Seek not what you shall eat, what you shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind." And so he was telling them in that verse, same idea, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But in Luke, it brings it out like this. Not only do you need to seek God's things first, you cannot be of a doubtful mind. And so, friend, putting God's things first is absolutely necessary. Your needs will not be met without it. But if you put God's things first and then worry all the time about your needs being met, your needs will not be met. That unbelief, that lack of faith cuts you off from the grace of God coming into your life and abounding towards you and meeting all your material and financial needs. And so it's not enough just to tithe and give and put God's things first. That's part of it. But now I got to stay in faith and I got to trust God and I have to refuse to worry. Praise God. This is good, isn't it? Psalm 23. And let's go over there as we're wrapping up today's broadcast. In Psalm 23, this is a very familiar psalm to a lot of people. I don't think a lot of people know exactly what was going on in David's life when he wrote this psalm. And years ago, in a time of study, the Lord led me to a Hebrew commentary, and it bore witness with my heart, and I'd like to read it to you here. And because it's a commentary, it's not scripture, but I believe that some of the commentary on this lines up with scripture, and that's why I'm reading it to you. But it gives you the backdrop of what was going on in David's life when he wrote this psalm. And it said he wrote it during one of the most dangerous times in his life. He was fleeing from King Saul and his army, and David hid himself in a barren, desolate forest called Hereth, which means a parched and dry, like baked earthenware. And so David is in a desert place. He is in a place where he's running from his life, for his life. There is no food. There is no water. And he's in this wilderness, this desert place. And being in that place, what did David say? He said in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Now he's saying that when he doesn't see any green pastures. He's saying that when he's not drinking from any still waters. It says in verse 3 that he restores my soul. He leads me on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so when it looked like he was not going to have anything to eat, he was not going to have anything to drink, this declaration of faith came roaring out of his heart and out of his mouth. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack." And then the big part of that psalm is he said, "I will fear no evil." Now, friend, that right there is a refusal to worry about what he's going to eat, what he's going to drink, what he's going to wear. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? That is a refusal to worry. And because he refused to worry and put his trust in God, his needs were met. And I want to read you what this commentary says about this. It went on to say, God did not cease to be David's source. He soaked this dry forest with moisture, which had the appearance of heaven on earth, making even the grass and the leaves of the forest tender and edible. This revealed to David that God provides at all times, even when the chances of survival seem to be non-existent. The commentary believes that God supernaturally changed that desert place into a place of vegetation and flowing water where he could eat or drink. Now, that lines up with scriptures because in Isaiah, it said that God would make a river in the desert. He would make a way in the wilderness. And so I agree with it. I like the way that says that. But that's not necessarily the point. The point is, the reason that he was drinking of still waters and lying down in green pastures is because he refused to worry and he trusted God and he made a declaration of faith when he saw no water to drink, when he saw no green pasture to lie down in. His faith is what affected his provision, and his refusal to worry in a time where he had a great opportunity to worry if he wanted to, but he passed it up. I heard Brother Hagin say recently on a tape that over his life, I've passed up a number of very good opportunities to worry over the years. And that's what David is doing right there in that verse. He's refusing to worry. And the reason that his needs were met is because he refused to worry and because he trusted God. And friend, you need to appreciate the value of your faith in seeing your needs met, because God is not going to meet your needs according to his ability to just meet your needs, but these things are according to faith. In Matthew 9:29, Jesus said this to the two blind men, "According to your faith be it unto you." Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood, "Thy faith has made thee whole." And so you don't receive from God according to his ability to meet your needs. You don't receive from God just according to his will to meet your needs. But you receive from God according to what you believe about him meeting your needs. And God is going to, he is going to pour out his grace, not according to his ability to do it. Remember 2 Corinthians 9:8 said he's able to make all grace abound towards you. But you're not going to receive his grace according to what he's able to do or according to what he wants to do. You're going to receive the measure of his grace that you receive to meet your needs will be right in line and in accordance with your faith. And so if you want to see your needs met, you have to refuse to worry. This is so big. You got to make a decision. I'm done worrying about my needs being met. You know, when I was studying on this past week, the Lord brought this up to me about our girls. I got two daughters, Grace and Faith. Grace is going to be in sixth grade. Faith's getting ready to be in third grade. And he brought this up to my heart that they never worry about if they're going to have something to eat. They never worry about if they're going to have clothes to wear. They don't even ever worry about if they're going to get birthday presents or Christmas presents. They don't worry about that stuff either. They just know it's going to be there. My God, they just know it's going to be there. And I'd like to think me and Amber are good parents and I'm a good father, but I can tell you this right now, when it comes to me and the Heavenly Father, there is no comparison. He blows me out of the universe three times over, you understand? And we need to develop that same kind of confidence. I mean, how confident are you that God's going to meet your needs? You need to get confident. You need to get confident, and you just need to trust that you serve a good Father. And whatever you need in your life or your ministry, financially, materially, a house, car, bills being paid, whatever you need, you just need to believe it'll be there. God will provide. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we do thank you today that you are a good Father. We thank you that you are a good shepherd. You are a good provider. And me together, Lord, I've made decisions like this in my life, but me together with the audience, everybody watching online, Lord, we make a decision right now that we will not worry about provision, about finances. We refuse to do it from this day forward. We will not worry. We will trust you, and we will trust in your faithfulness to meet our needs, to make sure that we have more than enough, that we abound in finances, that we abound in resources, that we abound in wealth. We say what David said, we will not fear any evil when it comes to our financial needs being met. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, thank you so much for staying hooked with me for this entire series. I believe that God really established some strong things in our hearts. And while I was preparing for these broadcasts, I sensed in my heart that there were going to be people watching that were going to be in a time in their life, in a season of their life, where they were either believing God for finances, some kind of financial thing was going to be going on. And I believe that the Lord has equipped us to get in a position to see Him meet our needs like never before. And so I'm in agreement with you, friend. If you're standing in faith, believing God for finances, I believe that if you'll refuse to worry and put the kingdom of God first, you're coming into a time where you're going to see Him pour out provision on you like never before. Praise the Lord. Now, hey, don't forget to come back next time. We're going to have an all-new series on the Faith for Life broadcast, and you don't want to miss it. We'll see you then.
Thank you for watching the Faith for Life broadcast. Go to mam.tv to download the free study notes from today's broadcast. You can also request your free copy of our mini book, Faith Declarations. In this book, you'll find declarations from the Word of God that will feed your faith and help you experience victory in your life. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Today's broadcast was made possible by the partners of Matthew Alaria Ministries. Go to mam.tv to become a partner today.